Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's been one heck of a week for the Tennessee Volunteers. They bring in their man, Josh Heupel, to be the next head football coach at Tennessee. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, David Ubbin from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How we doing?
You know, nobody's gotten hired or fired officially today, so that's a step in the right direction for Tennessee over the last couple of weeks.
You gotten any sleep this week? How's that been going?
I tried last night. It's been rough the rest of the week, but last night I think I went to bed pretty early, and I didn't get a call at 6:30 a.m. that something was afoot. So that's an improvement on the day before.
It's absolutely an improvement. Well, David, we'll start with the easy one. What do you think of this hire by Tennessee and Josh Heupel? How far down the list was Heupel on your list when this coaching search began?
Well, Danny White warned us in his intro presser that he's hired folks that weren't on people's hot boards, and he did that again. I think, you know, I compared it to the Rorschach test a little bit in my column coming off of it, and I think that's accurate. Whatever you want to see in this hire, you can see. You know, if you want to get excited about the offense and, a guy with a really big winning record and all these things, you're going to be able to see that. If you want to be pretty skeptical and say, well, he took an undefeated program and made them worse and all these things, you can see that. Those things can be sort of explained or excused away, depending on your perspective in there. But the reality is Tennessee did not have a super attractive opening. You know, the roster is not in great shape. You have a looming NCAA crisis that required a special clause in Josh Heupel's contract. Like, you're seeing, like, this is a very serious deal. And if you're a sitting Power 5 coach, there's not that many, situations that are worse. And, expectations are really high. Nobody since Philip Fulmer has held this job for more than 5 seasons. And when you take over a head coaching job at a place like Tennessee, you don't do that with the intention of being the head coach for 3 or 4 seasons. You want to set up shop there. And it's been really, really difficult to do that. And it's as difficult now as it's been really almost at any point since Lane Kiffin took over. So it is what it is. Can Josh Heupel be better than Jeremy Pruitt? I think he's going to play a more fun brand of football. You know, that's the only real guarantee, I would say. And, you know, when Jeremy Pruitt took over for Butch Jones, I said the only thing I would guarantee is that the roster will be in better shape. And in theory it was, but then the transfer portal happened, immediate eligibility happened, and, you know, it's probably slightly better, but not a significant upgrade when you lose your best players on both sides of the ball, and a bunch of other really good players are, you know, heading to Oklahoma and maybe North Carolina. You got a bunch of other guys in the portal. So not great times at Tennessee at the moment.
So, David, you had some familiarity with Josh previously, mm-hmm. Covering the Big 12 and things like that. One thing that I've wondered about his offense is, and I know it's not exactly the same, but I look at Chip Kelly, and he had a window where no one could deal with it, and then everyone tries to copy it, and defensive coordinators get better at handling it because it's more familiar, which I look at kind of the same way with what Josh does offensively, although the numbers have been very good. But how do you think it plays in the SEC? And I know, like, forget next year because obviously he's got to recruit to it. But even as he gets his players, like, what do you think is the upside of that in this league right now?
Well, it's tough because when I was covering him at Oklahoma, it was a different offense. You know, I was covering the Big 12, and I was around Oklahoma whenever he was lower on the totem pole, and then I was covering the whole league when he was kind of higher up and became the OC there. But I think the closest cousin of his offense is probably Baylor, where you try to run the ball, and there's a lot of verts, and obviously he had Jeff Levy with him at UCF previously, and then he took over calling plays. It sounds like he's going to be calling plays at Tennessee, and so I don't think he's going to be bringing Levy back, but, you know, I think Baylor's offense is the closest thing, and that's just difficult because they stretch you out, but they do want big offensive linemen to, pound the ball dominate the line of scrimmage. And when you put too many guys in the box, they want speed on the outside. Throw it over your head. We've seen that a lot. You know, we see that. You look at what Ole Miss does. There's some similarities there. Obviously, you know, that offense that won Baylor a couple of Big 12 titles. Nobody's quite had the exact same level of success, but schematically, it's really, really hard to deal with because you really have to pick your poison. And when you start loading up on talent and speed and you have a good offensive line, I mean, it's just tough to stop. And if you can develop quarterbacks like Josh Heupel can, you can see why he was able to put up the numbers that he was able to put up at UCF. And that doesn't always result in wins. You got to have a good defense, and that's what separates some of those teams from, you know, the great Baylor teams back in the day to kind of average Ole Miss teams. You know, UCF's issues this year. I mean, I think they lost five games with scoring 30 points. The thing that separates them is what do you do on the defensive side of the ball? What can you do? And that's, I think, going to be the question that ultimately defines Josh Heupel's time at Tennessee. Tennessee's going to score some points. It's going to be a more fun brand of football. But I think the wins and how long he's at Tennessee is going to depend on what happens on that defensive side of the ball.
David Ubben from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, I think it's obvious at this point, despite what Danny White said about Josh Heupel being the number one option, there were other feelers put out there and people told Tennessee no in this process. But I kind of look at it this way. Like Josh Heupel, whether you have offered to him on last Wednesday or today or over the weekend going into next Monday, Josh Heupel's taking this job if Danny White offers it to him. Do you think Danny White pulled the trigger too early on this hire and maybe avoided checking in on some other top candidates, maybe like Gus Malzahn or Jamie Chadwell? Do you think maybe he made this decision too early?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they put enough feelers out, you can kind of get a feel. And I think, obviously, you know, he's paid to make these decisions. And I find it hard to believe they wouldn't consider those guys. But he feels like Josh Heupel's better. You know, maybe feels confident in his upward trajectory. We'll see. But I know that time's going to change that. You know, I think they put enough feelers out that, you know, obviously Danny White has been around Josh Heupel the last 3 years. The results have been kind of mixed. But he believes in him, and he's been around him. He's as close to anybody, and, you know, he's paid to make these decisions, and ultimately we'll see if it's a good one or a bad one. But you can never really know off the top. Like I said, coming into this, you can kind of see what you want if you're a fan. You can get really excited about it, and for the reasons I said before, there's plenty of room for skepticism, and I don't know about this guy and a little bit of nervousness, but it's tough to know what that's going to look like, especially when his staff isn't fully together, and we'll see what they do defensively. So I don't know if time's going to change anything. You know, I don't know. You know, obviously, Jamie Chadwell definitely would have taken that job. But there's reasons for skepticism and questions there, too. I think, you know, if it's me, I might take a shot on Chadwell. But, you know, if you know what you're getting in Josh Heupel and you feel that confident in him, you know, there's something to be said for that as well.
So defensively, basically, it's either Tennessee is about to pay, what, $900K to Kevin Steele to hang out for a couple weeks, or...
I believe the buyout is $800K.
Is it $800? Okay.
They could have just mailed Auburn a check at that point, because his buyout at Auburn is mitigated by the job he took at Tennessee. That's why he took it for such a low number. But yes, $800,000 for 2 weeks of work. It's good work if you can get it. You know, like I said, I aspire to one day be a fired football coach.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. In Tennessee, they keep people who aren't working for them in business. But why would Josh Heupel not seriously consider Kevin Steele as his D coordinator? Is there? I mean, you just said it, David. He really needs a good defense. Kevin Steele has done a good job as a DC. Why would that not be a serious consideration?
I think it's a lack of familiarity, and I think it's a couple things. One, again, he doesn't know him at all. Their defensive philosophies might not mix a ton. But also, Kevin Steele almost got this job in 2017. He was angling pretty hard for it in 2020. We saw what happened to Gus Malzahn at Auburn. If I'm a new head coach at a place where I don't know anyone, and I've got an alum that has angled for this job twice in 3 years on my staff as one of my coordinators, How do you feel about that, Joe? I'm not on board with that.
It's a Tennessee way.
It is, but I totally get why he might say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. Danny, cut the check. We'll see you later, Kevin. Have a good time. You know, in terms of pure coaching quality, I understand that. But that dynamic, when you're walking into a place where the AD is really the only guy you know, I'm not sure that I'm super, you know, fired up about having Kevin Steele on my staff, where, you know, stuff that happens off the field can affect you on the field and can affect your tenure, and I'm not sure. I blame him. I think it would have made a lot of sense to keep him, but I don't blame him for not going that direction.
It could have been Majors Fulmer 30 years later, just, you know, rerun it.
Well, and I think, too, the flip side of that, from kind of what I hear, I'm not sure that Kevin Steele was real fired up about staying on as defensive coordinator anyway. So, yeah. You know, not meant to be is the simplest way to put it, I suppose.
David, what's going on with Henry Too'o right now? Because we've heard reports, I mean, obviously in the transfer portal, but we've heard reports he's still enrolled at Tennessee, yeah. Does not have a destination yet. What's going on with Too'o right now? And do you think there's a chance he comes back?
You know, he's taking classes virtually, as I understand it, out in California. Still enrolled, still technically a part of the program, but optimism waning, I suppose, that he's ever going to make his way back here on an official basis. So, I mean, that's kind of where it's at. There's not much else to sort of say. He's trying to decide what he's going to do. I'm talking to other schools from what I understand. And, you know, there's optimism has kind of waxed and waned, but at the moment, not a ton of confidence that he is going to return to this program.
So how about just Danny White on his own, David? It's just an incredible couple weeks here. You know, when you think about Pruitt and then you go to the Danny White, just the euphoria of, wow, they went out and got this guy, and then, you know, the sad trombone a week later with his coach hire. But, you know, I made a big deal out of it. I think we both wrote the quote in our pieces off his presser about, you know, fans, you know, some of you are failing. I know he was asked directly about it, but what's the reaction around him now? And, you know, how are people feeling about just him moving forward based on that and his hire?
Well, I think people were wanting that splash. And he didn't deliver it. And was that ever realistic? Was that ever going to happen? I think that's a fair debate. I would argue probably not. Maybe you find the right guy. Maybe there's somebody out there. Tennessee, the only way to know is to find out. I'm not sure there was that guy that was going to make that splash, that was going to. And even some of the big names, fans aren't going to be united around those guys. And ultimately, it doesn't matter. Like, the splash, the not splash, all that stuff, like, it can affect donations and that stuff. If you win, you know, it's going to be a tough time. That doesn't matter if you make a splash hire or not. Ask Jim Harbaugh about that, about splash hires, what happens to them when they start losing games. Same thing happens to them that happens to guys that aren't. So, yeah, I think in general, there's a mild frustration. I think his approval rating probably dipped a little bit. Is that fair? I would say probably not, based on the task ahead of him. But, you know, time will tell, and he's going to be tied to this hire. It's going to really shape how he is, you know, perceived and, you know, for his sake, God forbid, remembered as Tennessee athletic director. But, you know, you're not going to find a coach more closely tied to the AD than we have in this situation. You brought up a case from like 4 decades ago. I've never heard of either person involved.
Yeah,
that made this double AD coach switch. But this is not something that you see very often.
Little history lesson: Joe Kearney and Daryl Rogers from Michigan State to Arizona State is a package deal in 1980. So see, it pays to be old.
Wow. Very educational on this segment from Joe, David.
Hey, by the way, okay, David, wait. Okay, I'm going to throw this at you. I have a T-shirt on right now that says Jenko Olive Oil Importing. What's the reference?
Oh, no. It's not Jenko Jeans. You should be too old for that, Joe.
Jenko Jeans?
Yeah, how about that? A little throwback.
Have you not seen – David, have you not seen The Godfather?
Oh, I have. I lost it on me. Yes, I actually saw The Godfather. I watched the trilogy for the first time like 3 years ago. I had some time off, and It is as good as advertised, but I have forgotten the. You said JNCO, and I immediately think of JNCO jeans.
I don't know that reference.
Yes, I'm glad you don't know JNCO jeans. You shouldn't. Yeah. It's basically alarmingly baggy jeans that were very popular in the mid to late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
That lots of kids wore. I can say with confidence I did not wear them, but I did.
Were they best?
Joe, and you need to Google them and do a whole segment on JNCO jeans. You will. They're incredible.
Were they better or worse than Bugle Boy jeans?
Oh, God.
I'm going to say worse. Just a hilarious trend that I thought was ridiculous in the moment, and you can only imagine how it looks 25 years later.
Well, I've got pictures of me in acid wash jeans from the late 80s that you guys probably
worse.
Yeah, okay.
These
wow. I'm checking this out as soon as the show ends.
And this has been
JNCO.
Oh, yeah. This has been your fashion update brought to you by David Ubbin and Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. David, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you get some rest this weekend.
I wouldn't bet on it, but maybe.
David Ubbin has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. One of the best in the business, breaking down the hire of Josh Heupel.
What a beat. The Tennessee football beat.
I tell you what. Something else. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what David had to say there and ask the question, is Josh Heupel, the hype around him, growing by the day in Knoxville since the hire has been made? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.